Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, October 4th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by MailRoot.info. MailRoot is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it right now, absolutely free, at MailRoot.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, trying to make some sense of it. Jason Howell out sick. He's got it bad.
Poor Jason.
He just needs to rest up at home.
Jason, I have a sneaking suspicion you're watching this right now. I hope you're feeling better, buddy.
I hope he is, too. And big thanks to Jammer B for stepping in and filling in behind the board.
My pleasure.
Jammer B.
We've got Google TV all over the place.
Pretty exciting. Yeah. Except that I already have an Apple
Pretty
TV
exciting.
And a Roku box.
Yeah. Well, not all of it, though. I mean, you gotta pick your battle. I mean, who do you love, right? Do you love Hulu?
Who do you want to make
the
out
iTunes
with?
Store? Who do you want to make out with?
Well, I already have Hulu in the iTunes Store between my Apple TV and my Roku box.
Right.
That's the thing. That's there the is problem no... with Google TV
well,
is that I
let's give
depends
the headline.
On what you need.
Google TV going to have an announcement later this week from Logitech
right.
and then next week from Sony. But today they did their own blog posting and said, screw you all. We're going to give away half the store right now. They've got partnerships with Turner Broadcasting, including TBS, TNT, and CNN.
Team Coco.
NBC Universal, which means Sci-Fi, Bravo, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Turner Broadcasting also has Cartoon Network and Adult Swim.
Uh-huh.
Important to note. HBO with their HBO Go service.
What's
which
HBO
is
Go?
Only available to Comcast and Verizon subscribers right now. You go to HBOGo.com, you prove that you're a current HBO subscriber, and they give you a bunch of video on the net for free.
So that's not too different than just Comcast's HBO On Demand, or it sounds the same. If you're an HBO subscriber,
except
you've
you
got
get
Comcast.
It on you get it on your laptop.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got more.
And then in this case, you get it on Google TV.
All right.
So and this is not going to be any great shakes for anybody who doesn't have Comcast and Verizon. But if you have Verizon Fios or Comcast, you'll get it on Google TV.
Mm-hmm.
Also, NBA Game Time, so live NBA shows. They're also going to do Netflix and Amazon Video on demand. They'll have USA Today, Vevo, if you remember them, music videos, Pandora, Napster, Twitter, Blip.TV, TV, and YouTube, of course. Now, what does this mean when we say they'll have? It means there are websites being optimized to play video on your Google TV box. That's what they have over Roku, Boxy, and some of these others, is they've gotten these folks to create, especially in the cases of a Turner, for instance, to create a specialized website.
Right, because when it comes to Boxy, you have to create an app. When it comes to Roku, you have to create what they call a channel. And when it comes to Apple TV, well, we're still, you know, waiting to hear on whether or not, since it is an iOS device, we'll see apps on it as well.
And the, both Pandora and Twitter both had their own announcements for their foray into Google TV layouts. So it's not as if Google TV is saying, hey, it'll be optimized. I mean, these big companies are also saying, yeah, we're working on it. We're super excited.
Yeah, they've been partners.
So they're going to do something that's going to impress us or at least look different.
That's the big thing is you can get a lot of this stuff already through a Boxy box or through mm-hmm. a Roku box or through widgets on your television. There's a Netflix widget. There's a Twitter widget on a lot of these mm-hmm. Yahoo widget-enabled televisions. So what really is the big advantage? I mean, Google has a YouTube video up kind of showing how it works, and it looks kind of snazzy.
It looks okay. It looks fine.
It looks very user-friendly.
It does.
Yeah. In fact, it looks like it has more potential to have
there it is now.
Even more expansion, just like the Boxy Box does, but it looks a little cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great, and my absence of enthusiasm isn't because I don't think this is a great idea. I mean, besides the Twitter integration, I really can get pretty much everything. Okay, HBO Go I don't have either, but I don't have HBO anyway. I'm not an HBO subscriber, so
right. So it doesn't matter.
I don't know what I'm missing. I think it all comes down to you want to pay $300 for a new Google TV box because you don't have any of this other stuff, and it looks like you get a big amount of things in one place, no iTunes store. Or do you already have enough devices and some internet-enabled TV where you can cobble things together? That's what I have.
Yeah.
And I just don't need this device, at least not right now.
And the Roku has that really attractive price point now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, $99
bucks or less. Some of them are less. Yeah.
$60, $70 is the starting out. Yeah.
New TV had a neat comparison of Google TV, Apple TV, Roku, and Boxy, where they just sort of what does everybody have? What does everybody not have? And I mean, Roku still to me is the winner with the most well-rounded offering of everything.
They don't have like Last.fm or Twitter app type stuff, but I feel like that's the less important things.
Yeah.
They have Major League Baseball TV, which Google doesn't. Of course, mm-hmm. they don't have NBA, which Google does. So the sports thing is still split up depending on the device. But Roku has pretty much everything else and a couple things Google doesn't.
Yeah. See, my top three is Amazon Video On Demand, Hulu Plus, and Netflix. And none of them have all three of those.
Roku does now.
Roku has all three.
Hulu is not launched yet, but they announced last week Roku is going to have Hulu Plus, so they have all three of those.
Somebody's getting a firmware upgrade soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Logitech kind of tipped off that in their announcement, they'll be talking about how their device will handle HD video conferencing as well as Google TV. And so Engadget speculating that might be positioned as a challenge to Cisco's upcoming HD video conferencing solution, which is supposed to take that big wall unit you see advertised all the time and make like a home version that would be cheaper for people to use it in the office or at home.
I mean, when I first heard HD video conferencing, I go, oh, okay, so Google TV will be positioned to be, you know, in every big meeting room. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, maybe I just sit on my couch and make calls to my family overseas and... It's not supposed to necessarily be like this enterprise solution.
Well, and especially in a Google TV, it's an option, right? It's a like, hey, you can also do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really interesting to see how video conferencing has gone from on your desktop or on your laptop to now, you know, the tablets with the forward-facing cameras, obviously the iPhone 4G or 4 with the forward-facing camera, and now in your living room on a TV. Have we seen other devices that do this on your TV that have been widely
adopted?
Just
the Skype widget.
Yeah,
that's the only one I can think of where it's built into the TV, and the TV has a camera. There's only one or two models that take advantage of it.
Yeah,
Skype TV.
I've never seen.
Well, it's because nobody wants to do that.
Right, it's not there yet. You know what they also need to do? Stop calling it video conferencing, because that just makes me think of a conference room that I don't want to be in.
They should call it FaceTime,
right? Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
CEO Palooza continues. We had Executive Orama merry-go-round last week, and today a couple of moves. Evan Williams stepping down as the CEO of Twitter and giving over, apparently in his blog post saying he insisted that COO Dick Costolo take over the job. Ev's going to concentrate on being a product manager
which is
what he loves to do.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I don't know what was really going on behind the scenes at Twitter, but it sounds like he's a product guy. He always was. That's what he always wanted to do. He's happy with new Twitter. He had a big role. I mean, he was instrumental in making new Twitter what it is, and he wants to concentrate on that and probably wants to leave the stuff he doesn't like doing to somebody who would be a better CEO.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the new way these days. You don't have as many Larry Ellisons and Bill Gates out there who are like, no, this company is mine. I'm Steve Jobs. I'm going to hold on to it for dear life. You have a lot of people more like Sergey Brin or Jerry Wang stepping back and saying, you know what? I'm good at this. And so I'm going to do that part.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hand it over to people I trust.
And they have enough power to say, you know what I want to do all the time?
Yeah.
Just this. So that's what I'm going to do.
Similar move going on over at Skype, where Tony Bates, a senior VP at Cisco, is reported to be coming over to Skype to be their new CEO. Skype's current CEO, Josh Silverman, will be moving on. We don't know where to, whether he's staying with the company or not, actually. But
it doesn't sound like it, but no details it didn't read on that way, what his next move is.
The company recently filed to go public, so essentially what it looks like is they're bringing in Tony Bates to handle the IPO. That's going to happen. But also, Bates might bring some stuff over from Cisco with him. They have Flip. It's possible they might strike some partnerships with Cisco on some new Skype gear. At least that's a speculation I've read as well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. A while ago, there was some speculation that maybe Cisco going to try to buy Skype or something. And it's like they're saying, well, no, it's probably they were just talking about Tony moving over to Skype. And also, I mean, he's a big enterprise guy himself. And Skype has... a lot of users,
880 million,
very few amount pay for the service.
Yeah.
So if they can figure out a way to get into the enterprise business a little bit more, I mean, revenue goes crazy through the roof.
They have a pretty good model in place where it's like, hey, you do all this for free, but if you start to get really addicted to this, there's some things you have to pay for. It's not that expensive. You can start using. I do pay for some Skype because I want to have a Skype in number and I want to have some Skype out credits. But I don't think they push that. And I don't want them to be pushy about it, but they don't make it obvious what you can do. And there's a good and a bad way to go about that, but they're not doing it at all. Right now when you're on Skype, it's really kind of not obvious that you can do more with it than just call other people with Skype. So I think there's a lot of room for them.
That right there is the Achilles heel, too.
I mean,
because right now it's just Skype to Skype, and it seems like right now is when it's heating up between Apple, like we said, with the FaceTime, and then Google rolling out their own, at least voice over IP service built right into Gmail. In fact, I believe they even have video conferencing right there as well. So I guess it will come down to compatibility.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks to our sponsor, MailRoute. I've talked about them a couple times last week. Tom Johnson runs it, a friend of Leo's. He wrote Microsoft's hosted exchange services called FrontBridge and then moved on to write what he wanted to write, which was the ultimate spam solution. Not for an individual. It's for companies that host their own mail. But if you host a server, it's something you might want to look into as well. I host my own servers, or I rent space for them. I manage them myself. And I just signed up, and I have to say, so far, it's working. I've actually turned Subbrilliant.com email into something usable again instead of just a big spam avalanche. Leo's been using it for 6 years. Here's how you do it. You go to mailroute.info, sign up. You get 10% off the life of your subscription. You have to be able to change your own MX records. If you know what that means, then you probably will make good use of this. You have your email go to the MX record, then to MailRoute. MailRoute gets rid of the garbage, sends it back to your server. For an example, last year, Leo was sent 3.7 million messages. 3.6 million of them were spam. 96% of his email messages were blocked by MailRoute. And no false positives. They promise 99.999% uptime. Cost you $2 per user per month. You're on a month-to-month agreement. You don't have to sign a contract. I'm using it with two accounts. One that actually uses Google Apps for the domain. It's just a little redundancy. So check it out, mailroute.info. We thank them for their support. Apple is challenging a patent jury verdict where they lost in a patent decision around cover flow.
So they're appealing. If they lose this appeal, do they get to appeal again?
Well, they're challenging the jury verdict. So they're not blowing a whole appeal. So, I think they still could appeal afterwards.
Got it.
But the jury awarded $625.5 million on three patent violations. What Apple is saying to the U.S. District Judge Leonard Davis is that that's triple dipping, that those three patent violations are so similar that there should only be one $208.5 million fine if they should have to pay anything at all.
Because one of these is it's cover flow, which helps you look at your files and folders visually.
Right.
Spotlight, which helps you find files and folders visually, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, they do overlap a bit. And Apple's saying, listen, we may owe you some money, but we don't really want to pay you $600 million.
Time Machine, Spotlight, Cover Flow, all targeted, as Sarah said. And Apple is saying that two of these three patents are not valid, and so they should only, if they have to pay anything, pay one of them.
Right.
Mirror is the company, Mirror Worlds, founded by Yale University computer science professor David Glertner.
David Glertner, back in 93, this is just the sort of the weirdest, interesting spinoff. I don't even know how these two can...
Strange coincidence
was one of the guys who opened up a Unabomber package and was hurt.
Yeah, he wrote Drawing Life, Surviving the Unabomber. So he's a sympathetic guy, but he incorporated Mirror Worlds in Tyler, Texas, or in that area.
What's significant about that?
Tyler, Texas is the East District Court, which is known as the patent troll haven. That is where this lawsuit was filed. That's where everyone goes to file their patent suits because the courts there seem to be favorable.
Is doing their patent work?
That's a good question, but yes, a lot of the times. It's definitely where I4I sued Microsoft was in this same court.
Interesting.
You get a lot of these patent suits over there. So Apple, and anybody who knows anything about HyperCard knows that Apple has had something like this for a long time. This should never have gone to court if Apple thought they could lose. And Apple took it all the way. They're like, forget it. We're going to a jury.
Right.
Hmm. Well, you know, with 13.9 billion in sales for Macintosh computers last year, 208.5 million might be considered a drop in the bucket. I don't know, but 625,
It's the principle of the thing.
They're not letting go, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't let go either of Verizon because you might be getting a check.
Woohoo!
Verizon.
How much, Tom?
Well, $30 to $90 million, depending on how you calculate it, will be refunded to a bunch of different people.
Oh.
And you can get from $3 to $6 of
that. Hey, that's two lattes on the high side.
Yeah, I'd be going with the $30 to $90 million, and then you had to just crush my dreams now.
Essentially, what was going on here, the FCC launched a probe last December into early termination fees, but also uncovered some stuff about the mobile web feature. It turned out that people were getting charged data fees for the default web page that launched when you opened the web browser on Verizon feature phones.
Right. And it also was bundled with Verizon email service and all sorts of things that Gmail and Google would give you for free.
Yeah. So in the terms of service, it said, if you open this, you won't get charged for the default page because that's served by Verizon. But if you go from there to anywhere else, we'll charge you a data fee for that. Well, and apparently through a billing error, they were charging people for that and a few other things like that.
Well, it's a good thing they found out because obviously Verizon had no clue. They wouldn't have known for so many years that they were miscalculating and charging unjustly.
Well, this is just a great
example. This is a telephone company we're talking about.
Right. They would never do something never like do that. Such.
It's a great example of looking through your phone bill. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do every month. I mean, just to make sure.
To review it, right.
The only times I actually go through line by line is if I go, this seems a little high. What did I do? And if I can find that $10, whatever it was, I go, okay, yeah, fine. But the little $2 here and there adds up to many billions of dollars in this particular case, whether it was an error or not. I mean, we're not getting big refunds as individuals, but the company, had this error not been found, made a huge multi-million dollar profit.
15 million customers who did not have data plans were billed for data sessions, and that ended up being $30 to $90 million.
Think of all those people who don't know about this story, or don't have any idea what's going on, would never know.
They're just
going
to get a credit. Or for those that were so upset by being charged unjustly, mm-hmm. that left for another, you know, a superior carrier like AT&T. I can't do it, sorry. But
a superior carrier, if something like that existed.
If something like that existed and they jump ship, they'd get a nice check in the mail.
For $6, maybe, if they were lucky, or $3.
Yeah, 3 to 6.
Yeah, well. Mm.
And I bet the lawyers get bigger checks. Just saying.
Well, yeah.
Toshiba has launched what it claims are the first 3D television sets that do not require special glasses. I have seen television sets demonstrate this before, so I'm not sure that these are the first. But maybe they're saying they're the first that will actually be sold. The two sets use lenticular lenses. Those are the ones that kind of create separate versions, in this case 9 overlapping images, so it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you see the two images sent to each eye. It's what Nintendo uses on the 3DS, right?
Although it does matter where you're sitting, Tom, because if you're not sitting in the right place, the 3D doesn't work, and that's why this is stupid.
So the sweet
right, you can't sit
spot.
On the side.
No.
So you have to sit in front of it.
You got a 40-degree window of sweet spot. Just reconfigure your living room, Sarah.
Darren, I mean, is your living room the size of a closet, so you can only sit in one specific place? If so, I'm all on board with this. Oh, wait, you couldn't fit two TVs in the little closet of your
room. No, you could. The TVs that they have right now are in the varieties of 20 inches and 12 inches. So
that's ugly. I don't want that.
You just have to sit 90 centimeters from the 20-inch set.
Yeah.
That's all.
Why don't you want to sit 25 inches from the 20-inch set?
Too many rules.
It looks so much bigger at that point. You know, your parents always told you, don't sit so close to the TV. You're going to go blind.
Well, don't worry. They're only going to sell these in Japan anyway.
Oh, well.
So we're pretty much off the hook.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the proof of concept, but I wouldn't want this in my living room. Not yet.
I want the 3D TV that doesn't require glasses.
Me too.
I don't think I want it to be lenticular. I'm waiting for somebody to come up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does normal TV look on a lenticular screen?
I'm just curious. That's the thing.
A lot of the stuff is not optimized for 3D, yeah. And it's just a gimmick.
Yeah, and how do you optimize for this? Like, do the cinematographers have to shoot it with completely different technology if it's going to be on a particular screen versus on a shutter?
It could make a difference. I mean, it would work. It'll work in either case, but it may be optimized for one type and not look as good on another.
Really cool technology. I don't know. Maybe it even...
Should we give
rise to the name 3Dophile now? For the people who can tell the difference?
Oh.
It was obviously not shot for lenticular.
Yes, but
that is the lamest dinner party ever. Oh,
man. By the way, if you are in Japan, it'll cost you 120,000 yen when these start shipping. That's around $1,400 US.
That's about what I paid for my 2D TV, so it's not that outrageous.
No.
Yeah, 2D TV.
What's outrageous is that...
I'm such a dino.
Plane Finder AR application.
What is that? No, that app
we talked about this last week.
You launch it and you know what's overhead.
You hold it up and let a plane going overhead, and it'll tell you everything about it. It'll tell you where it's going, when it's supposed to get there, what the flight plan looks like.
For example, Air Force One taking Barack Obama back to D.C.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And the terrorists win.
Seems risky.
Well, that's what the Department of Homeland Security is saying, at least according to the Daily Mail. The program sells in the online Apple Store, and Department of Homeland Security is now examining how to protect airliners and concerned because the application works by intercepting the automatic dependent surveillance broadcasts, or ADSB. What is that?
And we need to protect the airlines because, you know, this is data that they're publishing on their own websites.
So wait a minute, what is ADSB?
It stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, and it's a system by which the aircraft periodically broadcasts its position and a whole bunch of other telemetry, and this is used by air traffic control so that they can see on their radar screens a lot more information and have a better way to direct traffic.
So it's safer because it's an international standard, so all planes can use it. Not every country uses this yet, but all planes have it.
Australia's got it across the board. So
But it's unencrypted.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you want it to be, and it's right over VHF, so if you want to tune in to, 978 megahertz, you can go ahead and pick this up. In fact, you can even build a very simple ADSB receiver just with, a couple of parts here and a tuner. You, the hobbyist at home, can just go ahead and listen to the broadcasts that are being made unencrypted to you.
That's actually how this app works, right? Is there's a bunch of hobbyists who do that, and they share their data with this app.
Yeah, there's no ADSB receiver in the iPhone, but some enthusiasts pick up the ADSB broadcasts in their area and then republish them on the web. So this just aggregates those so that when you point it at the sky, and it knows based on your GPS and what time it is, and then it goes and looks up and says, oh, hey, well, that must be that flight. Here's its altitude and its speed and all that other fun stuff.
So it's a case of the government not understanding how apps work because they're providing the information and saying, just don't build anything, but we'll give you the information, but just don't build anything, or that's a security
risk. What they're saying is the app could be used as an easy way to target an aircraft with surface-to-air missiles without going to the expense or trouble of building one of these boxes.
Right.
So it's providing an easier way to get at the data than you would get otherwise.
Because the terrorists couldn't otherwise go to any other means to find this information.
Well, and that's the thing. And this is a wider conversation about what actually stops terrorism. And we have this a lot when we talk about airport security. But like these things that generally end up punishing the people who aren't doing bad things and don't necessarily stop the bad guys.
Well, the way I see it, though, is an enthusiast might actually get some real value out of this. Some pilots might, some people working in in the aircraft airline industry and stuff might get some real use out of this application. And, considering that it's not encrypted, it's out there for you to listen to, says that, hey, what's the problem?
Can we think of a good reason to allow this?
I don't know. It brings up similarities with, do you remember a few months ago the drone I forget what the name of the drones, but it's the Air Force drones that we have overseas. And
they were broadcasting unencrypted.
Right. And they're broadcasting unencrypted, and all the terrorists need are just a satellite dish and some shareware, and they can pick up the broadcast.
Solution there is to encrypt it. What about here, though? Do we just say, why don't they encrypt the ADSB?
I think that's
Are they shutting down by doing that? That's a negative for them.
Well, it definitely impacts air traffic control.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, to say, oh, it's simple, just encrypt all of the transmissions. Well, then every, you know, air traffic controller
has to be completely updated,
privy of that encryption key, in which case it's kind of a public secret at that point. It used to be that there were devices that you could buy. In fact, you can buy one of these receivers off the shelf for like $1,500. And it used to be that they were like on a 5-minute time delay. But since late 2009, that's totally not the case anymore. And there was no, there was never any like regulation that they had to be on a 5-minute delay or anything like that.
So. Also, Jose B. in the chat room brings up the fact that there's several websites out there that show you your flight information if you're waiting on a plane to come.
That's true.
So we should ban Safari because that
including a couple of the airlines themselves.
Yeah.
And you put in a flight number, it tells you where the plane is.
Yeah.
Seems like over caution. And I know it's good to be over cautious
when
you're talking about stuff like this.
It seems like someone saying, you built an app where you point it at a plane and it tells you. No, we can't do that.
They probably have a fundamental misunderstanding of the technology and think that the iPhone is doing something to the plane.
I agree.
Yeah. Want to shoot down a plane? There's an app for that.
Oh.
The level of excitement and anticipation for Windows Phone 7 is mounting, says Todd Bricks at the Windows Phone team blog. But they've rolled out some dates now for the Windows developers to get the App Store up and running.
Yeah, so it's like if you haven't signed, if you've already signed up on, what is it, October 6th, I guess that's in 2 days, you may be one of the lucky first 1,000 or so folks who go into the next phase of getting your app accepted. And if you're not, and it's like a first come, first serve thing, and if you're not, then it's another week, and then they're hoping to start rolling out completely to developers in November, which is not anything totally mind earth shattering, you know, but it's like Microsoft has really not done a rollout like this to developers as structured. And it says to me that they're either expecting or just really, really, really hoping for a huge crush and wave of interest from the developer community.
Or at least they're trying to make us think that will happen.
Or that. But I
or
have
they're
to
just
say,
trying to exercise some stiff control over that marketplace.
Yeah. I just don't think that they'd go through the trouble to fool us into thinking that people were beating down their door trying to get, you know, into the marketplace.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you take away from this is, hey, they're really getting serious about the marketplace.
Yep.
We know there's we'll talk about the Windows Phone launch dates later in the show. It's go time.
Right.
It's time if you're a developer who's been wanting to play around with Windows Phone 7, now's the time to get going. Get that app ready to submit.
Yeah, I mean, with all the mumbling and grumbling about App Store and getting through and being featured, and it, you know, kudos to Microsoft to at least try to make this as painless as possible, or you know, they're hoping anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the news fuse. A number of major advertising associations have banded together to announce a self-regulatory program that would allow users to opt out of ad tracking. Just the tracking part. The program revolves around the advertising option icon. That's a new icon that websites could place on their site. And when you click on it, you'll be read a statement. Well, you'll be able to read a statement. They won't read it to you. you'll be able to read a statement about the company's data collection practices and, more importantly, opt out of data collection.
I like to hear that. Iranian state media report that the government there have arrested nuclear spies on suspicion of being responsible for the recent Stuxnet cyber attacks. Iran did not clarify how many people were arrested or what their role in the cyber attack was.
Were the spies actually nuclear? Were they made
nuclear powered spies?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They're trying to.
That's what Iran said. They call them nuclear spies. We're just quoting.
And they're really, really hot.
I think they're trying to sap your dispenser. That's a, yeah, anyway. So two-thirds of Windows users still use XP. The overall market share of Windows has had a slight decline. While Windows 7 is beginning to gain, it can't make up for the loss of XP and Vista users. Meanwhile, XP users seem reluctant to upgrade to Windows 7.
Oh, well. Cataclysm is coming. December 7th, 2010. A day that will live in infamy for Blizzard fans. Blizzard confirmed the date today of the third expansion to the World of Warcraft MMO, although they only included the price of €35 in their Paris datelined press release. Initially, the collector's edition, which will be €70, will only be available in retail stores. If you're ordering it online, you're going to have to wait.
Let me guess, you're excited about this.
I am the excited.
Yes. Good. I'm glad. T-Mobile settled out of court on Friday with Easy Texting over T-Mobile's discontinuation of Easy Texting's access to text messaging services. Easy Texting provided text message marketing to several companies, including a medical marijuana service. You may have remembered we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Full terms of the settlement were not disclosed. However, lawyers said T-Mobile would be required to stop blocking Easy Texting's clients. Stop it.
Stop that.
T-Mobile.
I really hoped that one would have gone to court. Oh, well.
Yeah, so, no precedent.
Huh? Yeah, no precedent yet. So Qualcomm is canceling its consumer direct Flow TV service. The mobile TV service will be winding down by the end of the year. Now, Flow TV allowed consumers to receive major broadcast and cable TV channels wirelessly through their phones that they purchased or direct or Flow
that
TV
one,
devices.
That one device.
That one device, yeah. So Qualcomm CEO Paul Jacobs said that the company might be better served using the Flow TV spectrum to, I don't know, distribute some other content.
I guess people bought iPads instead.
So are you saying that the iPad stopped the Flow?
TV, yeah.
Yes.
Flow TV.
Wow.
Unsurprisingly, Korea took home the most medals at the World Cyber Games this weekend. The UK and Brazil tied for second. The competition took place in Los Angeles, California, and featured competition in several video games, including StarCraft. That's why Korea won. Guitar Hero 5, Warcraft 3, FIFA 10, and a few more.
Guitar Hero 5?
Yeah, I know.
They're up to 5?
Seriously, that's what I said.
I thought everybody had migrated over to Rock Band a while ago.
They should.
Not in the pro circuit.
Well,
not at the Olympics.
Guitar Hero 5.
And that's the difference between Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Yep.
Negative versus positive reinforcement.
I've got good news or I've got bad news, depending on how much you like The Hobbit, because the on-again, off-again Hobbit movie is apparently on again.
Yay!
The New York Times reports that Warner Brothers and MGM are on the verge of an agreement that would allow Peter Jackson to begin shooting The Hobbit early next year. The plan has been to release the movie in two parts, and they've... There's been all sorts of back and forth. Guillermo del Toro was going to direct it, and then he kind of said, listen, we can't get anywhere. I can't do this anymore. I got to do other projects. I'm out.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson was never going to direct it. He was executive producer.
It's fighting, backstabbing, betrayal.
And it's his baby, and yes, so much betrayal.
I think it's as if one of them is wearing the One Ring.
And I don't know. I personally am... I need a Hobbit movie to happen. That's just something that I need in my lifetime. And I like the fact that Peter Jackson is stepping up as director. That's how I would have always wanted it.
Speaking of movies, let's finish off with The Social Network. Came out this weekend and topped the box office. 23 million cool
million.
Ones.
23 million. You know, Tom, of the three of us here, you're the only one who saw it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
My opinion on The Social Network, which has been refined in many conversations over the weekend, is that it is a very good movie. If you care nothing for Facebook or social networking and you want to see a good movie with good writing, directing, and acting, watch The Social Network.
But
it's a fine movie. If you're one of us who's really excited about like hearing the story of Facebook told because it is a dramatic story, it's annoying because you know most of it's not true. In fact, his girlfriend, Priscilla Chang, who he met the same year that he started the Facebook, isn't in the movie. And he's been with her ever since. And the whole premise of the movie is that he starts the Facebook because he's mad at his ex-girlfriend that just broke up with him, and he's still trying to get her back at the very end of the movie. It's like, well, that's not even true. The motivation's not even there.
See, I don't, Darren, I don't know about you, but it's like, I don't think I'd ever be able to separate the two. I would just sit there the whole time going, well, that didn't happen.
There's enough that did happen that it's not like you're just going to be annoyed every second. In fact, to Aaron Sorkin's credit, I don't know who he got to help him, but all of the hacker talk... in the scene where he's creating Face Smash, which is the predecessor site to Facebook, where he's going into all of these image directories and downloading all of the pictures of all the women at Harvard,
it's all accurate.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Everything he said, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that might work. I don't know if it's accurate as to what he actually did, but it all made sense.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying he used wget, so there's suspension of disbelief.
He
was there.
Uses the word wget.
He actually does.
Yeah.
For real? Oh wow. All
yeah.
Right, I'm in.
You know, I thought when it was known that Social Network won the box office weekend, I said, well, how much did it make? $23 million. $23 million is a lot of money, but it's almost just a third of what Inception made its opening weekend. And I could at least compare the two in terms of buzz on my social networks, you know, like my Twitter stream. That's all. Well, people are still talking about Inception. But I mean, as far as online buzz, that was just... You know, really, really high. A social network nearing that level of mania.
Although we're not in the summer blockbuster season anymore, so I'm not sure how much that has an effect. You just don't have as many people going to the movies.
I guess I thought it would have more of an effect than the traditional cycle of money-making movies. But I guess that still rules in Hollywood to some extent.
Anyway, I would recommend going to see it. However, if you're expecting to see, if you're a fan of Facebook and you're knowledgeable about it, you're going to have to suspend a lot of your disbelief. There's some good lines in the movie. It's Sorkin. He writes well.
Right. Yeah.
On to the calendar.
Steve Ballmer and AT&T's Ralph De La Vega are going to headline Windows Phone 7 launch event in New York on October 11th.
Yeah, this is big. Ooh. This is big news. Like, they've confirmed it. It's all real. It almost feels like old news because we've been reporting so many rumors. But there's going to be an October 11th event in London and New York for sure. And then it looks like
so
November
8th. Next Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
November 8th looks like the launch date here in the U.S. And we will also see T-Mobile phones. Although AT&T's De La Vega gets to headline. He gets to go up on stage and he gets made the most out of. Apparently, T-Mobile stuff will be later in the day. Mm-hmm. They don't get as prime a position.
Come on up here, Ralph. We're not suing you.
Yeah, not yet.
Come on. Tell us about your phones.
You ain't Motorola. Come up on stage.
Also, Free Software Foundation. It's a big one. It's a milestone. Uh-oh. 25 today.
Today, 25 years ago, Richard Stallman said, "Enough. If I want to rewrite that printer software, I'm going to damn well rewrite that printer software. I'm
free
starting
software
a foundation."
Foundation.
You know, like Linus says, software is like sex. It's better when it's free.
Wow. Huh.
Hadn't
heard that one.
That's true. Of software, for sure.
Well, we've got him to thank for Linux.
It's definitely true of sex.
Yes.
So I guess he's right.
I guess I'll just take your word for it on the software. I always pay for mine.
Really? You always pay for your software? I never have to pay for software.
I don't really know where this conversation can go.
No, I didn't pay anything for Firefox. All right, on to the voicemail. Please save us. Person who sent in a Vimeo video to finally put to rest all this stuff about what Zuckerberg actually means.
Da-da-da. Hello, everybody. Sepp Anderson here from Sweden. Long-time caller, first-time listener. Was that the other way around? Anyways, I was going to talk about the meaning of the word Zuckerberg. Now, I'm Swedish and not German, but I know a guy who's seen a photo of a German once, and I took 3 years German in school,
and
I can run Google Translate. So, Zucker, or Zucker, that means sugar, correct. But Berg, or Berg, which is would be more the German pronunciation, does mean mountain.
Nice art.
Whereas Burg, which sounds more like the English pronunciation, but is spelled with U, that does indeed mean castle. So the word Zuckerberg would really mean sugar mountain, not sugar castle. If you go by the pronunciation, though, it sounds a bit more like the word that means castle, Zuckerberg. Sounds a little bit more like Burg than Beck. But the proper than German pronunciation of Zucker would be Zucker, which doesn't sound like anything. So I think going by the pronunciation is wrong. So it's Sugar Mountain. Talking of the pronunciations, of course, everybody knows that Nokia is not pronounced Nokia. But if you believe the Finns, if you can believe them in anything, it's Nokia. And also, the proper pronunciation of IKEA in Swedish is, of course, IKEA. That's all from Sepp. Bye-bye.
Did you not notice when he said the two Nokias? Because they sound the same to me.
They sound the same.
But that's just my IKEA? American ear.
He is Swedish, so he'd know that.
IKEA, I heard the difference there, for sure.
The next time I order a coffee somewhere, I'm going to say, cream and Zucker, please.
Yeah.
And
nice.
just see if Zucker. They can put two and two together.
Next time I see Mark Zuckerberg, which will also be the first time I see Mark Zuckerberg, I'm going to say, "What's up, Sugar Mountain?" On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. Kyle says, "I found this interesting. Videotron, Quebec's newest wireless carrier, is selling the Nexus One for $100 on contract. I guess that's where they all disappeared to. I didn't think anybody was allowed to sell them as a carrier, but look at that. Go Quebec. Allez, Quebec."
Thanks, Kyle. Next email comes from the Microsoft Anonymous. "Hey, TNT crew, on the Microsoft suing Motorola story that you guys mentioned on Friday, a while ago I heard of a team that was building an app on the iPhone for their product like Bing did. I asked about Android, and the person mentioned that when they consulted the Microsoft legal team, rather, they were told not to develop on Android with no further explanations. Now it makes a bit more sense. it would be bad to launch Android apps while suing Motorola for Android use. The suit is clearly a try to stop Android market share growth and a payback to Motorola for ditching Winmo on their phones. As the saying goes, if you can't compete with them, sue them.
Look at that.
The culture of patents in Microsoft is interesting, and I can send another email about that, but this is a bad loser move, and I wish Microsoft hadn't done it.
There you go. A little inside mole information. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, though. I'm not terribly shocked.
No.
That is the way they would do it. Especially if they're going to sue people. You don't want people like, yeah, well, what about your Android apps?
Right.
But they did. They made a big Android app. So what, are they going to pull all of their...
That's true.
Yeah. They can't pull it now. It's too late. That horse has left the barn.
Right.
Well, this horse is about to leave the barn as well. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Darren Kitchen.
Thank you very much. Check out X11 over SSH this week on Hack 5. And then next week, a little DNS brute forcing.
All right. Becky Worley is in tomorrow. So check us out, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, TNT@twit.tv. I'll be from New York tomorrow.
What?
Uh-huh. 260-TNT shows the voicemail number. We'll see you then.
Sugar Mountain.
Reminds me of the warehouse in